The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
But we've been talking about warfare. We are in a battle. We are fighting a war. And we need to catch hold of the reality that we are fighting a real war. That's one of the things that I've been talking about seriously. You know, I took this title from the 1969 song by Edwin Starr, War, and it was an anti-Vietnam song. And the reason that I used that was because they never declared Vietnam a war. Congress never declared it a war. They said it was a conflict. And even today, when they talk about it, they talk about it as a conflict. But the reality is, if anyone was a part of it, if you were around when it was going on, you know there were casualties. You know people died. You know there was great pain. And whether it was right or wrong, whether we were doing what we should have been doing or not, I'm not debating that. What I am saying is, it was war. It was real war. And there is real war going on today. The enemy is against the body of Christ, and he's trying to stop us, and he is doing warfare. I don't care what the liberal theologians say. There is an enemy that we fight against. The Word of God is very clear about it. There is a devil from hell. He tries his best to try to destroy, to conquer, to kill, steal, and destroy is what the Word of God says. He wants to kill what God has given you. He wants to destroy your destiny. He wants to kill your dreams. He wants to destroy your destiny. He wants to steal everything, all the blessings that God has for you. And guess what? Praise the Lord. It doesn't have to happen. The only thing he can do is deceive you. And if you will get into the Word of God, if you will see what the Word of God says, the enemy cannot and will not deceive you. You will be able to walk by faith and not by sight. You will be able to accomplish great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Because the Word of God is very clear. We are more than conquerors in Christ. More than conquerors. War. We're at war, and you can't deny it. You can't hide from it. I know there are those who are trying to hide. Even in the body of Christ, there are those that are trying to hide. They're trying to store up food. They're getting caves. They're getting places where they can hide from this, what they think is a natural war that's going to take place, and it very well could be. I'm not saying we know that there's going to be a battle of Armageddon. We know that there's going to be catastrophes and warfare in these end times. We know these things are coming. Jesus told us to be aware of it. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It's going to happen. But it's just that these things are an indication of the spiritual battle that's taking place all around us. The spirit. In the 1990s, I believe that it was the 1990s. Let me make sure, look at my notes here. 1980s, I'm sorry. In the 1980s, yeah, it was about, I can't remember exactly what year it was. But anyhow, there was a couple in a particular church, and this is a true story. They were concerned with nuclear war, that war was going to happen. And, of course, we all know during the Cold War years how everyone was concerned about nuclear bombs and all this stuff that was going to happen. It never ceased to amaze me. As I look back, I've seen some old film clips of things that they used to play in school for us. Some of you remember where they'd show you if there was a bomb threat, a nuclear bomb, you'd get under your desk as if, you know, that was going to save your life from being incinerated from a nuclear bomb. We had shelters all over that. This was all to make us feel better about the whole situation. At least we were prepared that if we were going to be fried, maybe we'd all be together. And, you know, it'd be a complete barbecue. Who knows? But the reality is that the threat was real. It really was. And it still is. I don't think that we can, you know, deny the fact that the threat is real. In fact, in some ways, there's a lot more danger out there right now than there ever was. I'm not telling you this to make you afraid. You do not fear. God is on our side. God is with us. But this couple made a choice. They looked all over the world. They did great research. They wanted to find the safest place in the world. Now listen, there's a lot of Christians searching and trying to find the safest place, safest spiritual place. You know, let's find the safest church where they don't require too much of us. Where they just let us sit in the soft pews. They don't want us to have to do too much, witness to other people, be an example. They don't care about the little sins in our life. Or the preacher doesn't preach about those things that we're doing wrong. You know, it's just a safe place. You know, it's a comfortable place. So they started searching for a comfortable, safe place. And they searched all over the world. And finally, they found what they thought was the safest. All the data showed that this was the safest place to live. And they moved there. And they moved to this place. And they sent a letter or a note back to their pastor saying how wonderful and how blessed they were to be in this place. And it was just days. This was the Falklands. It was just days before the war between Argentina and Great Britain in the Falklands. You see, you can't hide. No matter how hard you try, you can't hide from this real war that we're in the body of Christ. We must be prepared. We must do warfare. We must recognize the power that we have as believers in Jesus Christ and walk as warriors, not as timid and intimidated individuals, but as warriors for the body of Christ. See, that's what the body of Christ is. It's an army that's supposed to go forth. I love the drama this morning. You know, it was great. Thank God for those young people doing that. War. Our enemy is well organized. We talked about that. Believers must engage in the battle. Believers must understand the enemy. And we talked about understanding him. Satan and demons are real, and I've already touched a little bit about that this morning, that they're real, and they're nothing for us to fear, but they are real, and they're operating in the earth today. Many want to tell you that they are not real, but here's what we must understand. Believers, you must know that you are victorious. You must take the proper battle stance. Colossians 2:15 says this, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. A public spectacle. He disarmed the principalities and powers. How good is that for us as the body of Christ? They've already been disarmed. Prior to this, they had some power and authority over us and over the world. But now, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, they have been disarmed. He took their weapons away from them. Hallelujah. And all they can do now is roar. Make noise. Make a lot of nonsense in the world. Roar in your face and try to scare you and try to intimidate you and try to hold you back. Because the reality is all their weapons have been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Guess who got the weapons? We did.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We got the weapons. Hallelujah. The weapons are available to us. Every weapon that we need. The weapons of our warfare, what's it say? Are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, we have a responsibility, and that is to take up the weapons that we have and go forth as the army of God to accomplish God's will in our life. And that translates into a day-to-day walk with the Lord. That's empowering you. Empowering you to go out into the workplace and make a difference. Empowering you to be loving and kind to those who are not. We don't like that,
right.
You know. Empowering you to walk in a place of authority, to be able to apprehend it, the things that this world is trying to hold you back from. They want to stop you. They want to keep you from accomplishing God's will. But God has enabled you through using these weapons to go forth and to be victorious. In every area of your life, I'm talking about in your family, I'm talking about in your finances, He's given you weapons. All these things, we can be victorious. Relationships, my, our God knows how we need to heal in relationships. We have a group of ladies led by Linda Well that is studying the bait of Satan. Praise God. And every time I talk to somebody that's going to that Bible study, they talk about how wonderful this teaching is and how much they're getting out of it. But the enemy wants you. He wants to capture you by using the deceptive means that he has. He wants to try to get you to hold and harbor hard feelings towards someone so that he can bind you up and keep you from accomplishing the will of your Father. Because you see, even though we think that we are harming somebody else when we have negative feelings toward them, the reality is we are harming ourselves. I've heard it said like that. It's like trying to kill somebody by drinking poison yourself. That's what's happening. So praise God. We're learning about these tools. And we're learning that we can overcome. Weapons of our warfare. Disarm means to spoil, to strip completely. We're not dualists where we believe that God and Satan have equal power. Absolutely not. Satan has some power. But God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God, He is awesome and mighty, and the enemy cannot stand before Him. The enemy is defeated. All right. That was just a bit of review of what we already talked about. Remember, in Mark chapter 16, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, they shall do great works, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Drink deadly things. You know, this is the kind of things that the Word of God says about you as a believer. You shall have the power to do this. You shall be able to because of what Christ did. Walk in victory. Number 7 that I want to talk about, I want to begin talking about this morning, is deception is the enemy's number 1 tactic. He wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive God's people. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you turn there, let's see what it says there. Beginning with verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, I'm reading from the New King James, that in latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be served with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word and prayer. Hallelujah. Now that first verse, it says, now the Spirit expressly, he's saying this to us with great emphasis. The Spirit of God says it. Listen to what he has to say. That in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. Demons, doctrines of demons. Basically, he is saying that deceiving spirits will put people in bondage by promoting doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. And we have to be careful that we know what the Word of God says so that we are not caught up in these doctrines of devils and demons. There's all kinds of religious belief systems out there that we need to be careful that we don't fall into those things because they will lead us down the wrong path. We have to hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, it says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby I know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So you see, the spirit of Antichrist has been around for a long, long time. Even prior to the New Testament, the spirit of Antichrist was in the world. It was anti-God at that time. But it's always been here. And the spirit of Antichrist is still in the earth today. Now, yes, we believe that there is going to be one that will rise up and become the Antichrist and do much harm in the earth. But the spirit of Antichrist is here. It's present. It's operating. And it's deceiving many people today. One of the things that Paul was talking about in his writings and what we can get from these things that we just read is that he was talking about Gnostic beliefs. In the first century, it was a very prominent teaching that Jesus didn't actually come into flesh and didn't actually die on the cross. That it was all spiritual. He appeared to be in the flesh, but he wasn't really. That was a Gnostic teaching. One thing about Gnostic teachings is that they tell you that there is special enlightenment. That's what Gnostic means. It comes from the Greek word gnosis, and it means knowledge. So there is special knowledge that will come to individuals. I know in the earth today there are supposedly Bible teachers and churches that teach that salvation doesn't come by the blood of Jesus. Salvation comes by knowledge, knowing more than anybody else knows. Special knowledge. And you see, that special knowledge is being perpetrated upon the church today. In this world that we live in, people are being deceived by, "Oh, I just have to get enough knowledge." No, your knowledge is not going to save you. Your knowledge is going to cause you to walk in the will of God, but you are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. You know, there was a couple of different Gnostic teachings during the first century. The first believed it was necessary to purge and afflict the flesh by denying it any physical pleasure. Of course, monks believed this. The Catholic Church taught some of this stuff. Monasteries. People were beaten, and they would beat themselves to suffer for Christ. Well, that's a ridiculous teaching. Jesus suffered in our place. Jesus took it. Yes, praise God. The other teaching was is in Alexandrian Gnostics, which is really much more indicative of the modern-day Gnostic movement. They promoted the idea that secret spiritual knowledge was the way to salvation, and what you do with your body doesn't really matter. So, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's party, because this world, this natural world, doesn't mean anything. You can do whatever you want to do in the natural as long as you have everything right in the spiritual. See, we have a tendency to get things out of balance. The balance is, yes, Jesus did everything that is necessary for us. The reality of the Word of God is that God expects us to strive for holiness. We're not going to be holy. We're not going to be complete. But we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it for us, but his expectation is that we walk as close to our God as we possibly can in the natural. Praise the Lord. Several years ago, Pastor Susie Francis, Susie Groves now, was our youth pastor. She attended a Methodist conference. What's it called? It's not conference, is it? Methodist. What? It is called a conference? Oh, okay. Methodist conference. And at that Methodist conference, now I want you to understand, what I'm about to say is not a condemnation of every Methodist that walks on the face of the earth. But what I'm about to tell you is true, it's real, it happened, and it's still going on in the Methodist leadership and denomination. And there are good Methodists that are fighting against the liberal direction of that conference. And they believe in the power of God. But anyhow, she was there. And one of the things that she came back and reported was that, I got this after many few years later. But what took place was they were promoting the worship of the goddess Sophia. And Sophia is actually knowledge. So they were promoting the worship of knowledge in an indirect way. But the reality was they were promoting idol worship, demon worship, demonic activity, right in what was supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, the Methodist organization is not the only one that's doing these kind of things. There are plenty of denomination and non-denominational churches that are way, way off base when it comes to the Scripture. So, once again, I want you to know, I am not condemning Methodist people, per se. But I am taking a stand against the direction that the overall Methodist church is going. And there's people fighting against it and trying their best to bring it back to a place where it was when the Wesleys walked the face of the earth. Because it was a spirit-filled, powerful movement of God. These things, when man gets hold of it, you see what happens. Man begins to dilute it and pour his own doctrines into it. Salvation is by grace alone in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 21, verse 8, it says this, and he said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Do not go after people that say they are Christ. How many times have we heard this in our day and time? You know, of course, many years ago, Jim Jones deceived many people. David Koresh proclaimed to be Christ. There are many today in this earth that are proclaiming to be Christ. And they are deceiving many. We must guard against that deception and know that, yes, people are going to proclaim that. For the most part, anybody that has any biblical knowledge and knows some of the things that I'm sharing with you this morning, you know when somebody says, "I'm Christ," you don't fall into that trap. However, even in the situation like with Jim Jones and David Koresh, they started out and it appeared that they were doing something good. It looked good. And people were impressed by what they were doing. And slowly but surely, they were able to indoctrinate people to the point where the people started believing a lie. So if you hear a lie long enough, boy, you can fall into it. Be careful. We must be careful. In Matthew 24:24, it says, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Part of this end-time demonic deception is signs and wonders being proclaimed by people who claim to be Jesus Christ. The Christ, not Jesus, but the Christ. Remember this. Demons are spirits that need a body to fulfill their lustful and evil desires. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, we've already talked a little bit about this. There was a woman who had the spirit of divination. And Paul got tired of her going around saying, hey, this is a man of God and he's preaching the word of God to you. He knew it was a spirit of divination. Paul got tired of it and he turned to her and he cast out the demon, the demonic force. If they were around in the first century, they're still around today. We like to pretend like they're not. But they are. Now, I really struggle when I teach things like this because the last thing I want to do is encourage people to start looking behind every door and under their bed for demons. You know, I do not want you to get crazy about this. They're real. Demons are real. Don't worry about it. Will they manifest? Yeah, they will. And we have the authority to cast them out in Jesus' name. Don't think that every time somebody coughs, it's because they have a demon.
That's right.
Or they scratch their head. They're the demon of whatever's there. You know, we can get way off base with these things.
Yes, sir.
The Spirit of God is on our side. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have nothing to fear, nothing to be concerned with. And praise God, yes, I believe that demonic forces oppress people, God's people, from time to time. But they don't possess you. They can't get into your spirit. It's born again. And there's no place in that spirit for the devil and the Holy Spirit at the same time. But they will try to oppress you. They will try to attach themselves to your soul realm. There are all kinds of things that happen in our lives that open doors, and sometimes we do things that open doors, and that just leads me right into some of the things that I want to talk about. This spirit that Paul cast out was actually a spirit of Python. You can look it up. That's Pythion, and we recognize that it was a spirit of Python. She was associated with the temple of Apollo at Pytho at Delphi. In Greek mythology, Pythion was a great serpent that dwelt in the region of Pytho and guarded the oracle of Delphi. It was slain by Apollo. Now, that's Greek mythology. Some of the things that we think of as being mythology, Greek mythology, just made up by man, I tend to think that maybe some of these things actually took place in the earth. You know, there's a whole area of history that we do not have any kind of record of took place in this earth. We don't know what happened, really, what happened before the flood. But there was a civilization on this earth. It's a reality that even though they try to tell us that the pyramids were built in about a 20, 25-year period of time, It is absolutely impossible for that to have happened. Not with the technology that they had. In fact, today we couldn't even do it. It's impossible. There's something missing. We don't have all the information. What we do have comes from the Word of God, and we stand on what we have. I'm not trying to tell you to get off into all kinds of weird belief systems. There is some information out there that if you want to do some study, you can find out some things that people believe, some direction about prehistory. But the reality is, this was a demonic force. That's what I want to focus on. And just as in the days of Paul, Python slowly wraps its coils around its victims and tries to strangle them. And that spirit is alive and well in the earth today. And we have to be aware of that. That's one of our enemies. He'll do it to people individually. He'll do it to churches. He'll do it to regions. He'll do it to whole nations. Let me tell you, one of the evidence that I believe of that is Haiti. If you've ever been there, my, it's horrible the way most people live in Haiti. The lifestyle. the standard of living, the incredible things that are taking place there. It's very, very low. It's a horrible situation. I believe that that's an indication that the enemy is working and he's doing a work to strangle that nation. There may be some reasons for it in the past. I don't know, but I do know this. I do know some of the history and sugar cane and all that kind of stuff that was being raised there. However, what we do know is that they are extremely poor. The poverty all over that nation. That's an indication that the enemy is doing something there. Through demonic influence, the history of mankind has been warped and distorted. Demons are just like their leader. They will lie to you. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 through 19, we see an indication that magic was being practiced in the world at that time. And these new believers that received Christ as their personal Savior, they were sorcerers, they were witches, they did incantations, they had books of incantations, and they received Christ as their personal Savior, and they turned away from those things. Listen to me. Listen carefully. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you to turn away from some of the religious practice, and I'm talking about religious practice that you have been involved in, do it. Turn from it. The word is very clear. That was a sacrifice for those people. It amounted to hundreds and thousands of dollars that they gave up, that they spent for those books. Books were not readily available like they are for us today. They spent on those books. But they had a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that they needed to get this stuff out of their life. God wants you to get some things out of your life. All of us. We need to examine ourselves on a regular basis so that we're not having things in our life that are distorting what God wants to do for us and what God is doing for us. It's not changed. People are still practicing these kind of things in the earth today. In fact, witchcraft has never been more prominent in the world. Sorcery, you know, look, it's obvious. Movies of all kinds, everywhere you look, they're promoting witchcraft and sorcery and everything that we can, that the Bible speaks against. In Deuteronomy, we have a list of things that God told the people of Israel to stay away from. It was witchcraft. It was soothsaying, which is fortune telling. It was interpreting omens by, you know, finding things that will tell you the future. Sorcery, which was really referring to a male witch. Conjuring spells, invoking illicit incantations of all kinds. Mediums, spiritists, those who call up the dead. Basically, one who contacts and gains information from dead spirits, which, you know, I don't believe they're dead spirits, they're demonic. All these things are what we call the occult. And according to Webster's Dictionary, the occult is having to do with secret skills or power most people do not pretend to have. In other words, it's secret knowledge. Remember we talked about that secret knowledge? If you have ever been involved in something like that, you need to denounce it, turn from it, and thank God for your deliverance. And do not get caught up in those things. We're about to enter in a time in our society where the devil is glorified. Satanic forces are lifted up, and we call it Halloween. And we dress our kids up like devils and demons and witches and vampires and all kinds of crazy things. And we send them out on the streets to have a good time. What do you think the Apostle Paul would say about that? He would say, church, are you crazy? Don't you understand what you're doing to your children and to your society? You're embracing the reality of the enemy, and you're pretending like it's not real. You know, Halloween is one of, and that witches will tell you, it's one of their high holidays. It's a time of great magic and power. You know why? Because so many people are agreeing with it. Where there's agreement, there's power. These things can prove to have negative impact in an individual's lives. We must be careful. And I'm not, listen, please, I'm not standing up here this morning condemning anybody. If you've never heard this before, or if you're just wrestling with it and you're trying to come to grips with it, I don't want to condemn you. I want you to hear that the Word of God says to stay away from those things. Let me give you that scripture again in Deuteronomy so that you make sure that you you follow up and you look at it yourself. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. Now read it. Do not only read it in the King James. Read it in the New King James. Read it in the Living Bible. Read it in the Message Bible. Read it in as many Bibles as you can so that you get a clear understanding of what he is saying to the people of God here. Stay away from the occult. The occult will destroy you. You will get bad information. The power of darkness is growing year by year by year in our world. And believers sat idly by sometimes while souls are being lost and tormented. Listen, I am opposed to the Harry Potter movies. I believe they promote witchcraft. In fact, one of the things that happens every time there has been a Harry Potter movie, books and movies, but particularly the movies, the increase of hits on witchcraft sites by children has increased dramatically. Why? Because, it must be okay. It looks good. Harry's a good guy. All these things look positive. We're promoting it, and we're allowing our children to be eaten up with this stuff. In the world of Wicca, witchcraft, a goddess is worshipped. This goddess is considered to be the giver of life and actually considered to be the Mother Earth itself. They refer to her as Gaia. And one of the things that we're seeing in our world today is a worship of Mother Earth, of Gaia. And we are saying that if we can get in tune with Mother Earth, listen, this is all witchcraft. That's what witchcraft is all about, getting in tune with Mother Earth. If we can get in tune with Mother Earth, then we can usher in a new age of enlightenment. It's being taught everywhere you look. Listen. I heard Walter Cronkite, right? I heard him. I saw a clip of it. He was standing before a group of people that are promoting, that believed in a one world government. I don't know how that's going to happen, how it's all going to come together, but I do know the Bible speaks of these things trying to come together. It doesn't all come together like we've been taught it does. You read your Bible and you'll find out that there are those who oppose it, and there's a lot of things that go on. But here's what he said. He was standing before this group of people that were in agreement with him, and he talked about Pat Robertson's book. And he said, Pat Robertson says in his book that anybody who promotes a one world government and one world currency is of Satan. Walter Cronkite said this. Probably not an exact quote, but he said something very similar to this. He said, if that's the case, I am proud to stand at the right hand of Satan. As he promoted one world government, one world currency. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Wow. He had no idea what he was saying. He had no idea that he was speaking and fulfilling prophecy. Our God is real. The enemy is real. But today I want you to know we are victorious.
Amen.
And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus delivered me from a life that was destroying me and my family. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He wants to be your Savior. If He's not, stand with me. If you've not made Him your Savior, you can do that at any time. You can receive Christ as your personal Savior. Accept the fact that He died on the cross for your sins. Recognize that you're a sinner and you need to be saved by His grace first. And then accept the blood that He shed on the cross for you. And you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. And church, we are an army. We are already victorious. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from a position of victory. It's already been done. It's already happened. All we have to do is walk in it. And together we're going to accomplish that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.